Jesus. We worship your name, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Somehow in my heart, Dimitri, it's good to have you with us, sir. God bless you. Thank you for the gift that you are to the body of Christ. Thank you for the word that dwells in you richly. Thank you that when you minister the word, lives are being changed. So thank you for being obedient to that gift that you carry and being a blessing to many people with it. We really honor you. Thank you so much. I really just don't seem to be let go of the statement that Carl made right now, is that we're in the valley, the warning lights are on, and we're not responding. I don't believe God speaks because he just does it. I believe he speaks because he wants to reach people. I actually feel quite emotional right now. There's a cry of God's heart out to you today. Will you respond? Will you respond? I want every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, please. We're not yet embarrass you. But when you drown, you desperately need that life-saving tube to be thrown out to you. And I sense even in my heart right now, today, you've known God's spoken to you and you're not responding. That's how clear it almost seems to be in my heart. And I'm asking you today, as people that God loves, will you turn? Will you get yourself out that valley? Will you stop the stuff that you are following? Will you stop feeding yourself the things that are bringing destruction to your life? Will you stop? Jesus, I'm asking, will you move in this place? Spirit of God. No man comes to you lest you draw them. And I really sense such a strong drawing right now in Jesus' name. And I'm asking that hearts would turn to you. We bow our heart to you tonight, Jesus. We bow our heart. Move upon your people. Move upon your people. Move upon your people. We can't do anything for them, but you can. You can change everything. And I'm going to ask a very bold ask right now. But I'm asking you, if that word is for you, I'm asking you, will you stand? We want to pray with you. We don't want to embarrass you, but we want to pray with you. We want to trust God together, that God would come and that he would help you swing this thing around. You can't afford to stay in that valley any longer. I've known pilots that have disobeyed all the instruments in the aircraft, and they have crashed physically. And that is such a brilliant picture. And I'm asking you tonight, if that is you, will you stand, please? Not to embarrass you, but just because we love you, will you do that? In Jesus' name. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, we come. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You're amazing people. You're amazing people. To respond when God touches you is the best thing that you would ever do. And the problem is that our brain fights with us because we think, what will people think? And you know what? We need to live our Christian life. The last thing they worry about is what people think, but the most important thing is, what does God think? What does God think? And I want you to know the thoughts of God towards you tonight is that he loves you. Jeremiah 29, he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. But you have to walk to him for that. He's been calling you, and if you don't respond, there's nothing more he can do. Because his Bible, the word tells us he draws. He draws. He draws in Jesus' name. Now I'm asking, I'm going to just lead in a general prayer, but will you make it personal for you right now? Will you say this in your heart, Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I repent of the things I've been involved in, things that I've been following. Jesus, again, I give you my heart. Sorry, Jesus. I love you. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for every single person standing right now. If you're standing next to somebody, will you just put your hands on them? Will you just pray? If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, will you just start to pray in the Spirit? Let me tell you that in times like this, there's a war that's taking place, and God doesn't let go. And therefore, sometimes we don't know how to fight this battle. But there's one thing we know. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And as we pray in the Spirit, we know that we're praying the very heart and the mind of Jesus Christ into the situation. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, every thought, every action, everything that the enemy, every snare, every internet thing that is a channel where the enemy comes in, Father, thank you. Your word said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you've raised up a standard. It's the blood of Jesus. We speak the blood of Jesus over every single one of them. And I thank you that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. We declare freedom. We declare life over every single one in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that. We break this almost this generational thing that has been following them. We break that thing by the name of Jesus. And I thank you, you became a curse for us that we might walk in your blessing in your life. So therefore, we speak your life over them right now. And I thank you that, Lord Jesus, their heart desires you more than anything else. So now will you lead them into truth? Would you lead them into a safe place? I ask that in the name of Jesus, will you give them the ability, Lord, to resist when the enemy comes in, to resist, to say no in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that the fruit of the Spirit, one is called self-control. I thank you that they are strong in that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, my Father. Come on, congregation, let's start to give thanks right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, it's done. Thank you, Father, we're going to see the fruit. Thank you, Father, we're going to see the reward that's coming in Jesus' name. Your word says, when one hurts, we all hurt. But when one rejoices, God, we all rejoice. And so therefore, we rejoice over the victory that you have given every single one of these people in Jesus' name. You never came to leave us the same. You came to change us. Thank you, my Father. Thank you. Now let your peace that passes all understanding, guard every heart and every mind, I ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we give you praise. And we all said amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. If you were part of that and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, now what we're going to do is we're going to lead you in a prayer after I've ministered the word, okay? And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're asking, will you be bold enough to respond there? And the reason is because we want to trust God to really bring a change into your life. Is that okay? All right. So there's exciting things that are coming. Hallelujah. Sure. Oh, I feel better. I feel better. Cara, well done. Where are you? Well done. Well done. When you do something for the first time, I'm telling you, trying to get all the ducks flying in formation on the inside of you is quite wild. I understand those things. In fact, it happens to me every Sunday. So last week we started to speak on prayer and almost gave an introduction on the importance of prayer, and we looked at a whole lot of stuff, but just highlighting a couple of things, John Wesley made the statement, and he said this: it seems God is limited to our power, our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Now, I said that how that seemed such a strange statement, but if you read Scripture in John 16, it says, now, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you would receive. James 4, you do not have because you do not ask. So we've seen that what John Wesley said actually lines up with God's word, and we landed with the statement, we're waiting for God, God is waiting for us. That's a brief review of last week. You'll have to get all the other stuff if you go and listen to. But I want to start talking on just the vital building blocks for an effective prayer life. Vital building blocks, and there's just so much in this one. But the number one thing in it, and where we have gone today is like the beginning of that, a relationship. The vital stepping stone to an effective, dynamic prayer life is a relationship. Now listen to me. It doesn't mean to say that God doesn't answer your prayer if you're not a child of God. Because the reason how you got into the kingdom is because somewhere you cried out. So he hears prayers. But now we're talking about us as born-again believers, people that love Jesus with all our heart, and we want to become strong. We don't want to stay babies in Christ. We want to grow. Yeah? Okay. So out of that, it's a relationship. So here's the deal. When you get to know somebody for the first time, do you go and, dig up all the intimate things about their life first, or do you just build a bridge first? You see, that's where we start, and God understands that. And, you know, we've got to get to know who God is. So we've got a whole bunch of these walls around us because that's how we built. Yeah? Yeah, we have these walls. And when we start to trust people, we let those walls down. Are you like me? Yeah, that's how it all works. And so we need to build this relationship. And so why is prayer such an important thing? Because everything about Christianity is believing and receiving. Believing and receiving. So this wonderful microphone that I have, I don't understand it. My brain can't think it. But it's somewhere between here. There's a wire that you can't see that's connected to something over there. And if you had to switch that off, it doesn't matter how much you talk this side, the message isn't getting there. So therefore, the message is not coming out. You see now. Well done for that good illustration. So I love the relationship between this thing and that thing over there. Even though I don't understand how this thing works. How, you know, you get your phones now and you can transfer a picture from your cell phone to your laptop and there's no wire. How does that work? I don't know. But it works. And when we come to our prayer life, it's that simple. We can't see God, but we know that He answers. We know that He talks. And we know that we can hear Him. But we have to learn how. So if I want to know how this thing, I have to go into electronics. I have to go into all those kind of things. And thank you, Jesus, for the people that know. And I just leave it there. And I just use it. And God's given us something that is so powerful called a prayer life. And He wants us to get to that place where when He asks us to do something, we do it and we trust Him. And we believe, therefore we receive. Now I want to say to you, when you're being prayed for, put your receiving mode on. Because sometimes when we pray for people, it's like laying hands on a brick. Nothing happens. Because you have the attitude, well, see if you can bless me tonight. You're going to get nothing. Because if I don't have my receiver on, then what am I expecting? Nothing. It's like there's load shedding. Doosh. The light's on, but nobody's at home. No believing, no receiving. Oh, you're getting quiet in this place now. So Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has been doing many, many miracles. He's healed a paralyzed man. He's healed a woman with the issue of blood. Then the two blind men that come to Jesus and they are shouting, Jesus, have mercy. The Son of David, have mercy. And then we go down to verse 28. So Jesus goes into somebody's house and they are a Josh Jenner because they just follow him into that house. No invitation. Just go in. It says there, when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They've been asking, will you heal us? He ain't answered them. He just went into the house. They said, we're not taking no for an answer. We're coming. Remember, some of us are waiting for God. God is waiting for you. Some of us, there needs to be a bit of a tenacity. God, no, it's not going to be an answer for me. I'm coming. And you will see some of these things happening quite regularly in the Bible. Remember the blind man on the road to Bartimaeus, Emmaus. And what happens is he hears Jesus coming and he starts, Jesus, have mercy. And the people are telling him to. You got very nice language, but I'm sure it was some other stuff. And it says he shouted even louder. And eventually Jesus stops and says, hey, tell the guy to come here. So you need to understand that sometimes there comes something that needs to be unlocked on the inside of us, but because of a relationship. And he said, yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said this. Remember, prayer is about believing and receiving. And then Jesus says, according to your faith, be it done to you. According to how strong your receiving mechanism is, be it done unto you. Come on, people. Let's raise our thermometer of receiving. Let's get firing hot. Let's be like a magnet that draws the presence of God, that draws the power of God, that just draws stuff. And their sight was restored. Paul says this in Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I'm always thinking he must have had that picture of Peter, John, the closest disciple, says that he lay on Jesus' chest. Can you imagine? Listen. Not the train, his heart. Maybe that wasn't the right sound that was coming. Jesus was so excited, his heart was missing a beat or two. But here's the deal. Just as much as our Christian life is believing and receiving, doubt and unbelief is exactly in the same equation. Because the enemy has a mission, and he wants to derail you and I. He wants to stop what God wants to do. And sometimes we're going to have to maybe just be a little bit radical. I love this lady. She is vocal. She is passionate. And I love it. I need to tell you that every time I hear you, I think of Reinhard Bonnke. And he says this. He says, flies can only sit on a cold stove. Some of us are so worried about the devil. We're more worried about the devil than we're worried about God. And I'm going to tell you, flies can only sit in a cold stove. You get hot for Jesus, flies ain't going to sit on you. That was for free. Mark chapter 9, a father brings his son, demon-possessed, and he says his disciples couldn't help him, and he cries out to Jesus for help. And in verse 21, Mark chapter 9, he says, Jesus asked the father's boy, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It was often thrown him into the fire and the water to kill him. What is intention? To kill him. I want to tell you the enemy's intention to kill you. Spiritually and physically. He says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible. Please say that. Everything is possible. That's not Basil teaching you. That's the Word of God telling us. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. But here it comes in. Help me overcome my unbelief. Whenever you and I are going to trust Jesus for something, I'm telling you in the back of your head, some doubt is going to come. So let me just tell you a very quick story for free. Where did I start? What time? Okay. Okay. 3 minutes ago. Sure. So what happens is we set a goal many, many years ago to go and visit my brother in America. He's been there 18 years. I've never been to visit him. And so we set this thing as a goal. And when we turned 60, we were supposed to go and celebrate our 60th in America. Well, a whole bunch of stuff happened, and we never got there. And so at the beginning of this year, he said, you know what? There's never going to be a convenient time. We're going to have to believe God for the provision of everything. So we're setting it at the end of this year. And we started the process, and there's been a lot of stuff that we've had to get into place and the finances to pay for the stuff and all that kind of stuff. But I want to just tell you, I have our visas, and we are aiming, middle of November, we as a family are going to America. But you see, what happens is everything, so I'm going to be gone. For November, December. I'm not here. I'm telling you now, just so that you can have a wonderful time without me. And I might think of you. I might think of you when I'm in America. Kevin was telling us this morning how the Americans, they eat a lot, so I might just come back with a different frame. Okay? Just might do that. But don't be disappointed. We'll have to work to get back to this. Why did I tell you that now? All things are possible. All things are possible. Sure. That's the problem about when you speak the word. Then all of a sudden, stuff runs in your head, and then you say unscripted stuff. And that's where trouble comes. But anyway, so we're trusting the Lord. And here's the deal. There's that every time you go and start to knock on a door that you have to do, the enemy's always going to fill your head with why this thing can't happen. I'd love to tell you a story of how we landed up in a trap in this whole thing, but I'm not going to do that. Do you want to hear it? This is a sad, sad story. You don't want to know a sad story? Sheesh. It's got a happy ending. I'm still going to America. So, you know that when you go and I didn't know this because I've never done this before. But when you go and apply for a U.S. visa, there are many different platforms that you can use to get you there. So I went onto a platform thinking that it was the U.S. consulate, and it wasn't. So you're going through all this stuff. Now remember, you're just following your nose. And so we're going through this whole thing, and I fill in everything, and it comes to the thing, and it gives me dollars over there, and I pay it. And then I do Shirley and I pay it, and I do Joel and I pay it, and I look at my credit card, and I am shocked at what went through my credit card. I'm going to give you a figure now, just so you understand. Our three visas cost us 20,000 rand. 20,000 rand. I nearly fell over. Now we want to go and book tickets. Now we're nervous, thinking like, "Shush, we don't want to land up in the wrong place either." But all I'm telling you is I know that the enemy is a thief, but I know my God is a good God. I'm going to America. I've paid the 20,000 rand. I've paid my apprenticeship fees and all that kind of stuff, and I'm going to America. And man, I'm going to have a blast over there. And I know God's going to be good to me. And all there's little dreams on the inside over here that are going to happen. I'm talking about prayer, and I don't know why I'm going down this road. So let me stop that one and come back here again. So here's a strange statement. He says, help me overcome my unbelief. Now, that thing that, so faith is not something we put in a bank and then we can draw on it whenever we need it. Faith is either growing or it's dying. Listen to me carefully, and I've been there, because there's times when we need to believe God, and we get out, and we stand there, and we find scripture, and we do all that kind of stuff, and when the challenge is gone, what do? It's so nice to be in a nice place. The problem is, when the next challenge comes in, you've got to kind of wind it all up again. And so we need to understand, and here it's almost like the dad, so He's in that place. Now, you need to understand that faith, you need different levels of faith to believe God for different things. Let me give an example. If you had a belief, just where you are right now, if you had to believe God for 10 rand or 1 million rand, which would be the easiest? Why? Because in your head, it's more achievable, a 10 rand, than 1 million rand. So are you getting the picture over here? That it depends on where we're going and what are we trusting for in where our faith level needs to be. So that's why our faith level needs to be growing all the time. And when we're sitting and coasting, our faith doesn't coast with us. Our faith dies. Therefore, we've got to keep on stirring it and stirring it. And the only way to stir it is, number one, read the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And number two, using it. Put yourself in a place to have to believe God. Now you're thinking about that one, so let's leave that one. So here the Father saying, I believe who you are, but my faith level is not there yet. Help my unbelief. And Jesus does a miracle for him right there. Have you ever heard Andrew make this statement, do you have faith for this? If you've hung around him enough, you'll have heard him, do you have faith for this? He never throws you into a place where you're not able to swim yourself or you feel that you have the faith to do this. He's a good leader. But he asks you, do you have faith for this? And I'm asking you, as your future faces you, do you have faith for that? Because there's many surprises coming. But God is for us. He's not against us. And he wants to help us. Yo, I'm preaching myself happy tonight. My. So what is important, remember, prayer is about believing and receiving. And so I have to learn to trust who I'm asking from. Have you noticed that when you read the Bible that God has many different names? Have you noticed that? And do you know that all those different names present his character in a different way? So if I say Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. If I say Jehovah Nisi, he's my protector, my banner. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He is. That's why when he sent Moses to go and get the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and he said, God, who must I say? He says, I am. I am who you need me to be. And over the time, God has revealed himself in different ways to his children on who he is, so that they can rely on him. And that's why Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your head. The last thing that is involved in serving God is your head. Hey? That's the Passion Translation, yeah. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I've suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Here, listen to it. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded. We looked at that word a little while ago. That word persuaded means it is settled with me. It is settled with me that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. You and I are going to have to get to a place where we are persuaded in our hearts so that when every signpost that said this is not going to happen or this can't happen, you ignore that signpost and you keep on pressing on because I am persuaded. John chapter 13, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's having the Last Supper. And he's just told Peter, you're going to deny him. Must have been an interesting conversation. And then he tells his disciples that he's going to go away in John 14. And then John 12, he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone. It is not put on certain people. It says, anyone. It is accessible to every single one of us. Anyone who has faith in me. will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, this scripture can be pushed. But I want to challenge all of us. We have listened to the people that have pushed it so far over there. Now we don't do anything. And we've taken a passive stand. Lord, if it's your will. How do I know if it's God's will? If I can find it in His Word, it is His will. If I can find it in His Word, it is His will. That's why in Psalm 190 he says, I'm watching. No, it's not in Psalms. It's in... I am watching over word. I think it's also in Isaiah. I am watching over my word. When Jesus was tempted by the enemy, when he's coming out at the end of his fast in the desert, what did he say? How did he defend himself? How did he present himself to the devil? It is written. It is written. It is written. That's the only way that you and I can stand in confidence when we are praying and the enemy is bombarding this unbelief and stuff in our head. It is written. It is written. It is written. But if I don't know Him, how can I say it is written? Here Jesus has emphasized the importance of catching the heart. Catching His heart. It's very interesting. So, I'm skipping over some stuff over here. So the key to personal relationships is picking up the heart. Jesus knew the heart of the Father, and He knew what was important. So Jesus is in the boat. He's going with His disciples, and He's resting. And the storm comes up, and the boat is nearly sinking. And the disciples are crying out to Jesus, "Don't you care?" And he says, we're about to sink. Remember that story? And Jesus gets up and He rebukes the storm. And immediately, everything is calm. You might think this is a wild statement right now. Jesus did not speak to His Father about the storm. He spoke to the storm about His Father. I'm asking you and I to get out of talking to God about the storm, but talk to the storm about our God. Start addressing it in the name of Jesus. Just in worship, it just became so real, that scripture. Every knee will bow. Every knee. Behind every storm in your and my life, there is a devil that is after you. And that's why that storm has to bow at the name of Jesus. You and I, there's one scripture I used last week, I can't remember, but I read it out of the Amplified. It says, persistently asking. That one, you ask and you shall receive, knock. It says, persistently in all those things. Be persistent. You keep on knocking. I was thinking of that scripture with a widow when asking for help. Jesus telling a story, and He says, because the woman wouldn't keep quiet, eventually she was granted her will. Or what she was asking. In John chapter 11, when Lazarus died, Jesus goes and visits the family. And when He gets there, He asks them to take Him to where they buried Lazarus. And in John chapter 11, 35, remember the statement I said, you always got to catch the heart. That's what keeps you in the right place, not pushing the Word of God out of its context that God has given it. Okay? And it says there, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. There's often, it's said there, He was moved with compassion. When you and I are moved with compassion, I'm telling you, something changes on the inside of us. When we see the hurting and the broken, and we're moved with compassion, I want to tell you the power of God comes. And God gives us the ability. Either we pray or we have the resources to change that situation. But I don't believe God puts us in a situation where he wants things to stay as they are. He puts us there because he wants them to change. Matthew 14, verse 14, it says, he was moved with compassion for them and he healed their sick. Matthew 9, 36, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary, scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Mark 1, 41, Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be clean. So I want to tell you the number one building block in our prayer life is relationship. Relationship. Number two, obedience. Obedience. Now, I'd love to tell you that I've been very obedient. But I'm just like you. There's times I've kind of like ignored the voice of the Lord. There's times I've just said, sure, Lord, no, not me. I'm not the right guy. Let me be honest with you. This thing that I do now, I'm always batting. Lord, I'm not the right person. I'm not the right person. I don't know why you've called me. I don't know. I'm not the best speaking person. I'm not the best person that knows the word. I don't know why you've called me. And if there's anybody better, you're welcome to come put them there. I'm not fighting for a position. But somehow, Jesus doesn't want to listen. So So our obedience then becomes absolutely important. And then I read this, he takes the foolishness things of this world to confound the wise. I'm thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, then you chose the right person because this guy is seriously foolish. Oh, Lord. So John 5:19, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing because whatever the Father does, his Son also does. And that's where you and I now, all of a sudden, it just becomes that obedient thing. How do you know the difference between Jesus spat in their eyes and Jesus made mud and put it on their eyes? That's just on the moment stuff that you're going to have to just obey. And there's no instruction book for that. Ludwig? He's not here today. He's not here. Oh, I'm skinnering about him and he's not even here. I hear that Ludwig always wants a formula and a whatever for everything, and a way and a manual, and there's no manual. John 5:30, Jesus said, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. When you and I get to that place where it's not about my name, in Afrikaans, I love that thing, slaan my naam uit 'n plank. You just mess up your name. It doesn't really matter. What people think about you, it's really not important anymore. But what people are going to think about Jesus, that becomes more important. And how people are going to experience Jesus. Jesus was so reliant on his Father. But here's the thing. And I know none of you will relate to this, but I can. There's a big difference between getting permission and asking for forgiveness. And the fact that some of you are laughing, you understand exactly what I'm saying. You have kids. Oh, okay. I thought I was the kid. You see, some of us, we are so set in doing what we want to do that we would rather just keep on doing that and get forgiveness later than getting God's permission now. I want to encourage you, that's not the way to do it. In that if God says don't, he says don't for a reason. Because he is a good, good father. And everything that you and I do that is supposed to be a no, and you push past that and you go and do it, there is something damaging that's going to kind of like smack you after that. And so often we cross that line, and to be able to get back out of that line again, yeesh, it takes you a mighty long time. And then you have to deal with a lot of stuff that happened because you did that. And so permission means getting consent and the go-ahead and authorization. And forgiveness means fixing what I did wrong. And I'm looking for amnesty and I'm looking for pardon. So many of us do what we want to, and we actually shouldn't be doing that. And in 1 Samuel 15:23, Saul has just lost his kingship. He's still in king, but he's lost his kingship. And Samuel says this, rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. Now, how many of you love witchcraft? But when we're in rebellion, we're in the same mode. That's a bit of a heavy. So we're moving on right now. I'm thinking of that. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God's not about trying to make life difficult for us. In fact, God is a blesser. He loves to bless. He loves to lavish his goodness over us. But we need to be serving him and following him and obeying him. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If I had to ask you, what does if mean? Would you say the word conditional? Okay. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and here's the deal, turn from their wicked ways, then. Conditional? As a result of? Then? I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Playing with sin doesn't work in our favor. Listen, there's no perfect person on this side of heaven. You are going to mess up. But you're going to mess up because the enemy tricked you, you had a blind spot, there's lots of reasons why. But when you are going and you're deliberately wanting to play in that ground, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. Obedience starts with the small things. When the Lord puts a song in your heart, what do you do with it? Sing it. You see, all these little things are teaching. So you don't take your children and you teach them obedience with big things. You give them a knife and you say, cut up the roast on Sunday. And they can hardly balance on their own two feet. You understand? We think that's crazy. But then when we want to walk in the power of God, is there anybody that doesn't want to walk in the power of God yet? Every single one of us does. But the problem is it doesn't just go from zero to hero in one step. It all starts with little things. So you're going to put a song in your heart. What are you going to do with it? Sing a thing. When you're walking down the passages at work, maybe you should be singing it a little bit louder than you are right now. Don't mime it. Sing it. When you put somebody on your mind, I wonder why I'm thinking about him today. Do something with it. Phone the person. Send him a text. Hey, I'm thinking about you. I got a message like that this week. I want to tell you it blessed me. Really blessed me. Helped me. Do something with the little things. Because here's what Luke 16:10 says. Whatever can be trusted, another Bible says faithful, with very little can also be trusted with much. Our obedience becomes important. God's not going to give you a thus saith the Lord if you don't even know how to pick up a phone and phone somebody when he puts them on your heart. I'm going to leave it there. So, tonight I've ministered the word which I believe is very practical. Amen? So, I'm giving you an assignment this week. I want to ask you, will you determine to build a relationship with Father God more this week? Will you push that boundary a little bit more? Some of us, we become stale in what we're doing and how we do it. You need somewhere along the line, you need to just freshen this thing up. I'm asking you to explore that this week. Remember, there's no right, there's no wrong, but just push that boundary a little bit. Some of us become just stale. We need the freshness of God. Okay, so we just move it up a little bit. And the next thing is obedience. God, my prayer is, God, will you speak to us? Will you give us stuff for someone else? And if you've been walking this road for a long time, and sometimes God speaks to you and you do nothing with it, I'm asking you this week, be obedient. If it is heavy stuff, push it by a leader first. Okay? Because the Bible, you don't want to step over. Sometimes me gets mixed up in the mix. Please listen to me. Me gets mixed up in the mix. That's why every prophecy and whatever needs to be judged. And be very careful to say, thus saith the Lord. Use the words, I feel. Because that means you can be wrong. Because when you put, thus saith the Lord in there, it's a done and dusted deal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want us to stretch. I want us to move. I want us to get to the place where our faith level starts to rise. But it's going to start with the small things. But let's, while we're doing the small things, let's put the things in place that are right. Okay? Is that okay? The third thing is Holy Spirit. But I'm not going to minister on that tonight. Because there's, last week I threw out a passage of scripture. It says all kinds of prayer. There's not only one kind. There's many different kinds of prayer. And Holy Spirit is part of that deal. So I'm going to leave that for there because I'm really trusting for an amazing move of God when we touch on that. Okay? In fact, I'm going to ask us, we're even going to pray and fast in that week because I'm really believing God to break something open over us as a congregation. I believe that it's time for the power of God to flow, not on just the leadership, but on every single one of us. I am excited. I am very, very excited as we are navigating this thing forward. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we